Good evening, everyone. Hold on just a second as we push live to Facebook. All right. Here we go. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce introduce our interpreter this evening, Aldo. In a moment, for those who would like to use our translation services, this will be repeated in Spanish in just a moment. But we will have translation services available, and you'll just need to click the interpretation button at the bottom of your screen. It will appear once Aldo is completed introducing the interpretation slide. Aldo.
Buenas tardes a todos. Muchas gracias por estar presentes en nuestra reunión el día de hoy. Para utilizar el servicio de interpretación simultánea al idioma español, van a encontrar en unos momentos más en la parte inferior de su pantalla un icono en forma de globo, que es el icono que significa interpretación. Haga clic en ese icono y una vez que haga clic le va a aparecer dos opciones, español e inglés, English and Spanish, en ambos idiomas. Si usted desea el español, seleccione español y inmediatamente usted va a encontrarse ya en el canal de español y ahí le estaré prestando los servicios. Muchas gracias. Thank you very much.
All right. So the interpretation has been turned on. So we'll go ahead and move to the next slide. This is the webinar for the East San Fernando Valley Light Rail Transit Project. Just as you know, the cameras are turned off on our audience side and your microphones are muted as well. So continue to go about your evening. Enjoy the time. You'll be able to submit your questions using our Q&A feature, which is located at the bottom of the screen in Q&A. If you're watching this as a recording, we'll show you how you can submit additional questions after tonight's presentation. As I noted before, this meeting is being recorded and the video file will be posted on our website at metro.net/EastSFB. Again, thank you this evening for joining us. We're really excited that you're here. We've got a lot of great information. Hopefully you won't have to hear me that much. My name's Ginny Bordeaux. I'm part of the community relations team here at Metro. A couple of agency updates. Number one, we did roll out new fares on July 1st. This is a new fare system, which is introducing fare capping, which we hope is a simpler way to pay for bus and rail fare. With fare capping, you are pay per ride with your tap card. And once you reach a set dollar cap, depending on your fare during the day or a 7-day period, you're no longer charged when you use your tap card for the rest of the period. For more information, please visit metro.net/fares. We're continuing our Ride Safely campaign. Keeping riders safe is our number one priority, and we're committed to providing you with a great experience on Metro. You can visit metro.net/safety for more information about our plan that reimagines the way we approach public safety to ensure that all of our riders feel safe, comfortable, and welcome on our system. The LA Metro Transit Watch app is an easy way for you to anonymously connect with Metro security at any time. There is a live response. So when you message in, there is someone there. You can get the app from the Google Play, or the App Store on your iPhone. Don't forget, our GoPass program continues. Free transit for students with their GoPass card. Students at participating K-12 schools and community colleges can continue to ride for free on Metro and other transit agencies. They need to have that TAP card. To find out if your district or your school is participating, you can contact your school or visit metro.net/GoPass. Finally, this evening, wanted to roll out the Facebook group that is just for Metro projects in the San Fernando Valley. This is hopefully a spot to help foster conversations between you and staff. The group's page is a little complicated, but it's facebook.com/groups/MetroSFV. We'll include this link in all of our emails coming from the project. To get into the group, again, we'll send out the link in the wrap-up email. Now getting into this evening, I'm going to hand it off in just a second to Monica Bourne. We also have Daryl Root, Ron Macias, Jesse Leon, Jessica Spearman, and I'll come back later on to facilitate Q&A features. With that, Monica.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. Good evening, everyone. This is Monica Bourne, Deputy Executive Officer, working on East San Fernando Valley project. I'm going to start off with a project overview here. What we're showing on the right side of the slide is a map that shows the north segment and the southern segment of the project. Basically, back in 2020, our board, Metro Board, certified the final environmental impact report, which is covering the state requirements. And then we also achieved in 2021 a record of decision for the final environmental impact study, which covers the federal side of the environmental process. Basically, what was approved at those two separate moments, 9.2 miles to be built in two segments. The southern segment is 6.7 miles of light rail from Van Nuys Boulevard at the G Line intersection up to Van Nuys and San Fernando Road. The northern segment is comprised of 2.5 miles from Van Nuys Boulevard and San Fernando Road to Sylmar and San Fernando Metrolink area. Tonight, we will be focused on the southern segment of the project. Next slide, please. All right, so for the southern segment again, it begins as it's shown on this map, the bottom portion of the, there you go, thank you, where the red circle is, that is the Metro G line, the orange line, and it goes up the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard up to San Fernando Road on the northern end. And it is a center running median guideway in the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard. It's comprised again of 6.7 miles of light rail, has 11 new transit stations, and those are represented by the white dots with the names of the stations adjacent to it along the map, and one new maintenance and storage facility, and that is shown with the white box with the yellow arrow next to it, basically in the center of the alignment. We also have several utility relocations that will be happening since Van Nuys Boulevard is an active corridor. Those utilities that will be impacted by the project will get relocated or protected in place. We also will have street improvements, which include bus stops, street trees, street lights, things of that nature, as we put the two tracks down the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard and rebuild portions of Van Nuys Boulevard itself. Right now, we anticipate completion being by 2030. Next slide, please. All right, so for the northern segment, which is that last 2.5 miles, and again, starting at Van Nuys and San Fernando Road, continuing up to Sylmar and San Fernando Station with Metrolink, it was part of the environmental document that was certified. We have decided, Metro Board has decided to do an additional study for this portion of the project, in which they are looking at different ways of addressing some concerns with the grade crossings, coming up with conceptual design and analysis that will consist of three concepts that were not included in the final environmental document. This study for the northern segment is anticipated to be completed in mid-2024. Next slide, please. All right, so just starting high level with East San Fernando Valley Project, the idea here is to transform the corridor. And what we mean by that is to improve connections to and access between the various communities along the alignment, Van Nuys, Pacoima being some of those. We also are providing direct access to Metrolink and G-Line stations. We have what I mentioned before, the G-Line, the orange line on the southern portion of the alignment. We also have Metrolink connection, basically in the middle that connects with Metrolink that goes out to Ventura County. And then we also have the Metrolink line on the northern end that goes out to Antelope Valley. So East San Fernando Valley Project will connect with all three of those. We will also maintain full access at key intersecting arterials along the alignment, and of course, providing community benefits of streetscape and also sidewalk improvements that I mentioned on the last slide. Next slide, please. All right, so the way that we are approaching this project is a delivery method called progressive design build. With progressive design build, what we're showing here with the boxes at the top of the slide here, we've already gone through the planning phase. We've done preliminary engineering, which is basically bringing it up to 30% design. We've selected a contractor, a progressive design build contractor, and now we're what we're calling the pre-construction services phase one. And what we're doing during this phase of the work, during phase one, is we're working collaborative together with the contractor and their designer and working on answering their questions that they might have about the design that's already been completed, coming up with innovative ideas and value engineering ideas with the contractor and their designer, and then coming up with a scope of work and a cost that would cover what we're calling phase two, which is final design and construction. Once we agree, Metro agrees on that scope and cost, we will then give them notice to proceed to work on what we're calling phase two. In this method, collaboration is key, along with working closely with the contractor and the designer and the other third parties that consist of City of LA, DWP, county, et cetera, on this project is key for success in this delivery method. And again, this is the first time that Metro is doing this on a rail project. Next slide, please. All right, so the progressive design build contractor, what we're showing here is a timeline. In October of 2021, our board approved the delivery method of progressive design build. In February 2023, Metro approved the recommended PDB contractor. And then in April 2023, we gave them notice to proceed, which is basically a green light for phase one. The contractor that was selected is San Fernando Transit Constructors. It's comprised of Skanska, Stacy Whitbeck, and their designer is AECOM. SFTC began working on the design validation, which is phase one, in April of 2023, and they have continued to work through the design validation schedule and cost estimate. And they will continue to do this for approximately a year or longer. Next slide, please. Okay, another important aspect of this project is implementation of a project labor agreement, a PLA, and a construction careers policy goals. So the PLA and the CCP are going to be applicable to various contracts for the East San Fernando Valley project. They consist of the advanced utility adjustment work that's currently going on, the progressive design build contract phase two, which we awarded and the contractor's on currently, the East San Fernando Valley maintenance facility, P3 solar panel project, phase two for construction also. So the PLA and the CCP goals are basically on the left side of the slide here, hiring 40% local targeted workers, 20% apprentices, 10% disadvantaged workers, and also we encourage our contractors to include a 6.9 female participation rate. The policy was approved by our board back in January of 2022 and was renewed by our board in January of 2017. So again, the contracts that will be applied are listed here, and the goals are on the left side. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is our typical cross section for how the project will look down the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard once it's built. So Van Nuys Boulevard is about 100 feet wide, back of sidewalk to back of sidewalk. We will be removing one lane of traffic in each direction, along with the on-street parking, and putting in our two tracks in the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard, along with two traffic lanes on either side. In addition to that, there will be minimum 10-foot sidewalks. And within those sidewalks, there'll be either existing street trees, or if we're impacting them or having to remove them, we'll be putting back new street trees, along with bus stops and street lights and other such street improvements. Also, what's shown in this cross section is our typical station platform. And as you can see, thank you, Jenny. There you go. As you can see, the typical station platform is slightly raised, and you'll be able to enter those platforms by ramps on either end of the platform. We also have the overhead lines that power the trains that we're showing here in the middle too. As I mentioned, there'll be several utility relocations that will be happening so that we can build our track system without interfering with the utilities that exist out there. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is a rendering that shows our typical section for Van Nuys Boulevard once the system is built. So you've got the two tracks in the middle. And there is a station there too. Yes, thanks, Jenny, up there. And again, you'll be entering the station through ramps that will bring you up to the boarding area of the platform. Also wanted to highlight here too, in the bottom right-hand corner with that left turn pocket. Yes, thank you. There is something called a left turn gate. For this system, we will have these gates installed at most of the left turn pockets, and this prevents people from taking illegal left turns. As you can see, the other portions of the intersection do not have gates. So the only gates that you will have on the system are some of the left turn pockets. The rest of it will be ungated. And this is typical for a street running portion or street running rail system. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is our next rendering here, our concept image for Victory Station. And again, patrons will be crossing Van Nuys Boulevard into the middle of the street, Van Nuys Boulevard, and entering our station via ramps. We're also showing on here some idea of where the artwork will be on the back of, thank you, on the back of where you would purchase tap cards, the maps and as such. And there'll be some more artwork on the station platform itself. Also wanted to highlight here a photo of an existing station over on the K line. And this was just recently opened, so you can go out there and view it yourself, but wanted to highlight what a station looks like in real life. All right, next slide, please. And this is a rendering for Arleta Station. And again, highlighting the typical features of these stations, the ramp that takes you up to the front or up to the top of the platform, the artwork that we're showing there on the back of the maps and where you purchase your tap cards. Again, you've got the vehicles there on either side of the station platform, and people will be crossing Van Nuys Boulevard at controlled intersections. Pedestrians will only be able to cross the street where there's a traffic signal. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is a rendering of what we call the traction power substations. These are the locations where power is brought in and converted from AC to DC and then used to power the trains. So this is a typical site showing where we've got a picket fence, the landscaping, and the equipment itself that the picket fence surrounds. Up in the upper right-hand corner, there is a photo of an existing traction power substation site, again, over on the K line. Next slide, please. Okay, so this one is a rendering of our maintenance and storage facility. It is currently planned to be located on the area west of Van Nuys Boulevard, north of Keswick, and surrounded by Raymer Street. The maintenance and storage facility is approximately 21 acres. It will be a place for our trains to be stored, along with maintained, washed, and for our maintenance and operators also to have a place to have their offices, their lockers, place to relax between shifts. And then also there's a building for our maintenance of way people to also store their equipment and to be able to have their offices at one facility. Next slide, please. All right, so for the southern segment, we've got anticipated project schedule here. Starting on the left side in 2020, we were doing various activities, which included pre-construction activities. We also brought on board our construction management support services, our advanced utility contractor, RASIC, and also our solar panel contractor, PCS Energy. In 2023, we brought on board our progressive design build contractor, SFTC. We did a continuation, or are doing a continuation of project design with the focus on utility relocations. We also started initiation of project construction that will happen with the beginning of RASIC, our advanced utility relocation contractor, and then proceed with SFTC doing their construction portion. We also have continuation of community relations and outreach activities, which include community meetings like these, our CLC coordination and meetings and stakeholder briefings and business outreach. We also have an important feature here, an expansion of the Business Interruption Fund. In April of 2023, our board authorized the expansion of what we're calling the BIF, the Business Interruption Fund, to be applicable to this project, East San Fernando Valley. We anticipate the project being completed in 2030. Next slide, please. So some pictures to show you as far as the pre-construction work, which is we were out there identifying, trying to locate existing utilities. So that is shown on the upper right-hand corner with what we're calling the pothole slot trench work that was happening out there. What they did is basically dig down to where the existing utilities are to identify the exact location, including depth, and also horizontal location for it. We also did some underground exploration for soil borings, pavement coring, so identifying how thick the pavement is out there, the condition it's in, and then also restoring the pavement back to its condition so that it could be utilized. We also identified some sensitive materials, such as underground wells, lead and dry wells. So all of this will feed into advancing the design once that final design proceeds. Next slide, please. So we also have been doing early construction activities, and this consists of the advanced utility adjustment work done by RASIC. And what that is relocating LADWP underground facilities, which currently are vaults. And what we're showing in the photo there is installation of a new vault. And these are massive. These are 10 by 16 foot vaults that are placed into the ground. And this took traffic control setup, saw cutting, and also excavation of the dirt or of the soil in order to achieve placement of these vaults. This activity began in February of this year, and it's anticipated to be complete next year, early 2024. This is then followed by DWP coming in to install their cable, and they're anticipated to be done in fall of 2024. The location of this work is along Van Nuys Boulevard between Vos and Van Owen. Right now, we've got duct bank that's being installed that connects these vaults that have been placed out there. And at this time, three of the four vaults have been placed. Next slide, please. All right. So again, what we have going on for future construction activities, SFTC, we anticipate them starting some field investigation work, more of the potholing, soil conditions, and then leading up to utility relocation work. All of this we anticipate beginning later this year. The current design that we have, what we call preliminary engineering, will be advanced to final design, and we anticipate that starting in 2024. We will also continue having our coordination with third-party agencies that include City of LA, DWP, and the county. SFTC is also working on construction schedules, and they will continue to coordinate with us so that we have an agreed upon schedule to move forward with. Next slide, please. And I will pass this off to Daryl now.
Okay, then thank you, Monica. The real estate department at Metro supports the East San Fernando Valley project by planning, acquiring, and delivering property within the approved project area for both construction and operations. So that's what the real estate department at Metro does. Real estate works, of course, with property owners and occupants that are affected by the project, and we implement the state and federal acquisition and relocation programs. Real estate also has begun on the maintenance and storage facilities on those particular parcels that Monica referenced earlier. We've begun the appraisal process and it is ongoing. We appraise both the real estate and the appraisal of property, furniture, fixtures, and equipment for those that are impacted by the project. Okay, we also talk about and determine the property's fair market value. We establish that, and we offer just compensation to the owners of the properties that are being acquired. In the coming months, a relocation plan will be posted for public comment and review, and that relocation plan will be posted at public locations, such as a local library, for 30 days to gather public comment. And the notification, of course, when the plan is posted for public comment, that will be certainly circulated. So you'll be able to make comments if you wish. Relocation benefits, of course, are offered to those businesses and residents that will be displaced because of the acquisition necessary for the project. And so if we could have the next slide. This is a short timeline of the real estate acquisition and major activities. You can see that during March and May of this year, there was ongoing appraisal efforts for the maintenance and storage facility parcels. We also interviewed businesses and residents displaced by the acquisition. So that is ongoing. In June, we continued with our appraisal preparation. The appraisal task orders were also issued for three traction power substation sites, in addition to the maintenance and storage and facility parcels that Monica referenced. During the months of July and August, we will begin having the appraisals completed. Those initial appraisals will then be reviewed by another appraiser for accuracy. And then the initial offers would be expected to go out during the July, August, September timeframe on the MSF or maintenance storage facility parcels. During August and September, we will continue with our efforts to make offers on those parcels that need to be acquired. And then the relocation plan will be released, of course, as I referenced earlier, for public comment. So that's a basic timeline as far as real estate acquisition goes. And at this time, I think I'll hand it over to Ron for further comments on community relations.
Thank you, Daryl. Greetings to all. I am Ron Macias of Construction Relations. We as the Construction Relations and Mitigations Program team of the overall project engages and connects with a broad array and full spectrum and the full diversity of the community stakeholders in order to perform outreach and informing the public of the overall project and upcoming construction work activities. And we conduct coordination efforts with the public to attempt to reduce or mitigate the impacts of construction to the extent possible. We will be maintaining ongoing communication and engagement with the community throughout the entirety of the project in a way, and also provide advanced notification in advance of construction activities with work schedules and details of work. So all of these efforts, which are all part of the efforts of the project and being a good partner with the public in delivering the project in a way that will enhance the community and advance mobility in the local area and the Los Angeles County region. And as you see here on the slide are some photos of outreach being conducted in action. There are a couple of photos of the team at community meetings. There's a couple of photos of the team out in the field and in the actual community performing outreach. And also there's some outreach materials out in the field distributed and on display. Next slide, please. As stated, our engagement efforts entail collaborative efforts with a broad range of stakeholders of the community and the overall project. We are maintaining ongoing outreach and communication and coordination with community stakeholders, such as the residents of the community, businesses along the corridor and in the vicinity of the project alignment, and community-based organizations and of the local community, and as well as public officials of varying levels and public agencies of the local area as well, where we often particularly coordinate with the city of LA and many of its different departments in order to deliver this project to the local community. Next slide, please. And again, the broad range of community stakeholders that exist within the community are whom we are engaging with. This is inclusive of neighborhood councils, community-based organizations, schools, churches, elected offices, where we will directly connect with in a number of ways to provide project briefings on the status of the project, provide advanced notification of upcoming construction work activities, whether it's via meetings or face-to-face on-site visits, and also business associations or chambers and individual businesses along the project alignment, whom we will look and actually have been already out in the community obtaining information on an ongoing basis to the businesses with respect to how businesses, a particular business operates along the corridor, so just knowing their hours of operations. And all this information is being compiled by us, and it helps us to inform us of how we can make attempts to alleviate construction impacts in the future. Next slide, please. We have a project website where the latest information pertaining to the project is located, which includes project status info, current construction notices, information on business mitigation initiatives, which you will hear more about later, and contact information, phone number and email address for the opportunity to directly connect and contact the project and raise any inquiries regarding the project. And other related project information is available on the site as well. And anyone can use the site to receive emailed project updates and emailed of any latest project developments on a regular basis. Next slide, please. Also, we, the construction relations team, are active in disseminating information to the public through various forms and formats. Our information is bilingual, available in both English and Spanish. There are regular and frequent electronic dissemination of information through emails, project updates, construction notice, and newsletters as well. There are postings of project information on social media platforms and forums like Nextdoor, Facebook, and there is direct delivery and door-to-door dissemination of information. Information is available at in-person meetings and at events. So there are a number of ways that we get the project information out to the public and out to the community. There you see some examples of such info that we distribute. There you see the construction notice on the top right corner of the slide, which are distributed in advance of the start of work activities. And the other images are community meeting notifications. One is a postcard directly distributed to the community in advance of the meeting, and has been also been made available at various sites and locations along the project alignment. And the other is an electronic email communication of the meeting notification distributed via email distribution as well. Next slide, please. And we, of course, have regular community meetings. We are hosting our project meetings on a quarterly basis, such as this meeting right here, both virtual and in person. We tend to have the in-person meetings at different locations throughout the project alignment. And each of our meetings have Spanish translation available as well. There you see we hosted our first meeting in the Van Nuys area during the early part of this year, followed by a virtual meeting. We recently held our next meeting thereafter, a short time ago, in Pacoima. And here we are with our second virtual meeting, and we will be looking to move the meeting to another location, an in-person meeting to another location along the alignment in the near future, in the coming months, in a few months. And also, in addition, we do, in fact, go out to attend other community meetings and events that occur in the community to share information about the project as well. And at this time, I will now hand it over to my colleague, Jesse Leon.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jesse Leon, and I'm a community relations manager on the project. Specifically, I will be managing the Community Leadership Council, which I will discuss now. So what is the Community Leadership Council? It's an advisory body to the project. Our goal with the council is to promote, foster, and advance community-based dialogue and opportunities arising from the project. It's going to be composed of 15 council members who live, work, or own a business or commercial property in the project area. As mentioned already, the project area runs through four communities: Arleta, Pacoima, Panorama City, and Van Nuys. Our aim is to also hold quarterly meetings with this council. Each of the members will serve a two-year term with the opportunity to serve more than one term. Next slide, please. These are the areas that the Community Leadership Council will focus on. Basically, it's two prongs. On the left side, community engagement. On the right side, economic development and business support. Under community engagement, here are some areas that the CLC will focus on. Examples include landscaping at the TPSS sites that was discussed earlier in the presentation. Opportunities to discuss the artwork that would be installed at these stations. Station naming opportunities. Input into the streetscape improvements that would be taking place. And additionally to that, the project is looking to roll out what's called the CBO partnership program. And Metro has adopted what's called the CBO partnership strategy, which we aim to discuss with the CLC. On the right side, on the economic development and business support prong, areas that the CLC will help us focus on include construction mitigation. If there's any construction impacts that are foreseen that may be coming up, the CLC, as experts of their own communities, will be an invaluable resource for us to consult with. In addition to the actual work that's going to happen on the project, there will be opportunities for job promotion and local hire. And lastly, on the small business development front, there will be opportunities for construction careers a program that I'm going to discuss in a little bit called Metro's Eat, Shop, Play program, and then also Business Solutions Center activities. So these are just ideas and areas that the CLC members will help us with our outreach efforts on, and we will be partnering with them on making sure that the overall community is well informed on the project. Next slide, please. How are we selecting the Community Leadership Council? We're going to select the CLC through an equitable process that promotes a board composition that is both representative and harmonious with the diverse communities along the project alignment. So there's a three-step process. First, community relations staff did an evaluation of the 49 applications that were submitted and received. Once we evaluated those applications, we are currently conducting interdepartmental interviews. We formed a panel of Metro staff from various departments that are providing video interviews with the candidates who will are being considered to join the CLC. Once those interviews wrap up this month, we will be making a final board selection, and we'll be making that announcement to the community. Next slide, please. This is a timeline showing our efforts in both creating the CLC and our outreach efforts. Back in early 2023, we began our formal outreach efforts on notifying the community that the CLC was coming. We released an application for interested parties and invited them to apply. Earlier this year in the spring, as I mentioned, we scored the applications and we started the interviews with our Metro panel of staff. And then we also made recommendations to interview with an expanded panel of Metro staff. So the yellow circle here, we are here, indicates where we are. So as I mentioned, we are currently wrapping up the final rounds of interviews for the CLC candidates. Once we conclude those, we will invite the finalists to join the CLC. Once those finalists accept their appointment to the CLC, we will provide a board orientation to them. And then lastly, once that happens, we will begin meeting as a council. Next slide, please. This slide now transitions into our small business mitigation programs. As I mentioned earlier, the Eat, Shop, Play is one of the programs that Metro provides. It supports local businesses as we build more rail throughout Los Angeles. Participation in this program is 100% free, and it's a great resource to small businesses. So what it does is for businesses that are located along Metro Rail construction, those small businesses can sign up for free marketing. If you look at the upper right-hand corner, this is an example of the free marketing that the program provides. It's photos of the typical dishes that these establishments may sell at their retail locations. There's also a handy little map indicating where the businesses are located and then the name of the businesses themselves. Aside from these hard printed materials in marketing, we also have social media and email marketing assistance. And again, once small businesses sign up for this free program, our Eat, Shop, Play team will reach out to them and make sure that they're aware of all of the resources that are available to them. Next slide, please. Signing up is easy. If you're interested in the program, you can scan this QR code now and it'll take you directly to our website. If you don't have the means to scan that right now, you can visit our website, which is metro.net/eatshopplay. Or if you have any questions, you can also email the team at eatshopplay@metro.net. Next slide, please. And that concludes my presentation. I will now hand it over to my colleague, Angela Winston.
Actually, you're going to hand it over to me, Jesse. Thanks so much.
Jessica, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Hi, everybody. My name is Jessica Spearman. I work with Angela Winston on Metro's Pilot Business Interruption Fund and Business Solution Center programs and have had the opportunity to work on these programs for the last 7 years. I'm going to provide you with an update today about our Business Solution Center, which was mentioned earlier in the presentation as one of the opportunities that businesses have to receive support as we're under construction on the East San Fernando Valley line. A little bit of background, our program started along the Crenshaw LAX Transit Project and was started by our board of directors. And the BSC provides hands-on business development and business assistance technical resources to the small businesses that are impacted by construction. The services that are offered are free to businesses and are really just available to anyone who is experiencing any kind of transit rail impact or would like to receive any kind of business support services. As mentioned earlier by Monica, our program started on the Crenshaw LAX Transit Project. And then earlier this year, oops, sorry, that's actually 2019, sorry. In 2019, our program was authorized by the Board of Directors for expansion and includes the East San Fernando Valley Project. Some successes that we've had along Crenshaw, we were able to support more than 400 businesses along the alignment, and we were able to more than 300 businesses and contact more than 400 businesses along the alignment. Next slide. So a little bit about our BSC. Like I said, we provide really that hands-on business development and technical assistance. So that may include long-term business planning, increases to access with technology, including IT infrastructure, and most importantly, website development. Of course, client engagement, whether that's phone calls or visiting businesses directly at their place of business, as well as accounting management, financial readiness, any kind of loan opportunities, as well as marketing assistance. We are really there to support businesses in areas that they may need support and also help them to determine where they may need support if they're not really sure, but if they're interested to obtain resources and potentially better business practices. Next slide, please. So a little bit about, again, this is from Crenshaw LAX Transit Project. We've had an opportunity, just looking at the last two bars on this chart, we've had an opportunity to help sustain businesses and operations 6 months post BSC intake. So after a business will have gone through intake, we had 74% of businesses remaining in business. And then we had 72% of businesses remaining in business 12 months after they completed their BSC intake. And these we like to display when we do presentations about the BSC to show you some of the lasting impacts that our program can have and has had rather as we are under construction. Next slide, please. Next, I'll go over the Business Interruption Fund. The Pilot Business Interruption Fund provides financial assistance to small mom and pop businesses that are directly impacted by transit rail construction. It's along the Crenshaw LAX Transit Project, the Purple Line Extension Sections 1, 2, and 3, as well as the Regional Connector Project that's the Little Tokyo area and 2nd and Broadway segment. Now, as Monica mentioned earlier, our board earlier this year in April of 2023 authorized the expansion of our Business Interruption Fund to the East San Fernando Valley Project. So we're really excited that we'll be a part of this project and that this program will be available to small mom and pop businesses that are impacted by transit rail construction. Next slide, please. A little bit about our Business Interruption Fund or BIF eligibility. Businesses must have 25 or fewer full-time employees. They must be located immediately adjacent to the rail corridor and meet other eligibility requirements. Businesses receive a grant. The financial assistance that they receive from us is a grant. It's not a loan. And so the grant is determined by business revenue loss related directly to the period of metro construction disruption. And businesses may receive up to $60,000 per impact year. We do have a new grant that we will be rolling out as a part of the East San Fernando Valley Project. Businesses that have limited documentation regarding business operations and financials may apply for a presumptive eligibility grant award, which is a one-time grant award of $1,500. The business must be able to meet standard eligibility requirements and be impacted by direct construction activity. And again, this is new for us, and so we will be rolling this out as a part of our expansion to the East San Fernando Valley Project, and we are very excited excited. For any more information that you'd like, you can reach us at biff@metro.net. And we've got one last slide. Thank you. Or maybe two, actually. I'm excited, as always, to present how we're doing with our program. And so part of the reason why we include this slide is to show you that this is a program that has been around since early 2015 and really has had a lot of success on the other rail corridors. And so we want to be able to demonstrate that this is a trusted program and that we have really been working at this for a long time, and we're excited to expand to East San Fernando Valley. To date, we've awarded over $37.5 million to small mom and pop businesses. And you can see the breakdowns along each of the rail corridors on the slide. In the interest of time, I'll let you all read that. Next slide. And my final slide for tonight, again, we'd like to really just to demonstrate the measures of effectiveness and how effective our programs are along the rail corridors. And so for the Business Interruption Fund, for businesses remaining in business 6 months post-grant award or after they've received a grant, we had 94% of businesses that have remained in business for 6 months. After 1 year after grant award, we've had 88% of businesses remain in business and 77% of businesses remaining open at 2 years after they've received a grant. And I believe that is our final slide, or my final slide for tonight.
Yes, Jessica, you are right. All right, so here I am coming back in to pick up some of the questions. As a reminder, folks, the Q&A feature is at the bottom of the screen. You can submit questions, and you can also click on that and see some of the questions that were answered. We'll go through a couple of those right now as we wait for some of the open questions to be answered. And the benefit of going through these questions, particularly, is for those who are on the interpretation channel to hear the questions and the answers. So first one that came in was, will power utilities be relocated underground for the entire route? And the answer is overhead utilities will not be relocated underground for the entire route. Only a select location in coordination with LADWP and the communication service providers. The next question coming in, why does this project have so many stops? It seems like it will stop at every major street and stoplight. Is 11 the final number? These station locations and stops were determined as part of the final environmental impact report, and the final environmental impact study will provide the link in the wrap-up email. But also, if you are seeing the answers, you can also see the link there. Is parallel parking going to be removed on Van Nuys Boulevard? So the project's final environmental document that I just mentioned includes the removal of all on-street parking along Van Nuys Boulevard. Parking was studied as part of the environmental and planning process. Part of the reason why is there is limited amount of space along Van Nuys Boulevard to have sidewalks, traffic lanes, and the light rail system. So again, there's the link to the environmental document that, again, we'll include in the wrap-up email. All right. Moving on. Ooh, I see more questions coming in. The staff is at attention. Where are all the bike lanes called for in the 2035 mobility plan? What about the first mile, last mile connectivity with class 1 or class 4 bike lanes? The bike lanes will be removed from Van Nuys Boulevard due to limited roadway space as a result of the construction of the transit line guideway. And per the environmental document and the mitigation monitoring and reporting program, which is called the MMRP, which is also in the environmental document, Metro will work with the City of Los Angeles to identify and, to the extent feasible, replacement locations for the bike lanes that meet the goals and policies in the City of Los Angeles' bike plan. And then for more information about the bike plan, we'll include the link in the wrap-up email. And then, let's see here. There was another question about bike lanes along Van Nuys Boulevard. Were there any studies or are there future plans to extend the southern segment to Ventura Boulevard? The answer is the scope and the alignment of the project has been finalized by the Metro Board, and there are no plans to extend the transit line. Will there be bike lockers? Yes, there will be bike racks. Does the project have a letter and color yet? The letter line and color has not been chosen for this project. So the letter lines are assigned in order of each line's original opening date. For example, the blue line was Metro's first rail line, and it opened in 1990, and it became an A line, I think actually 3 years ago. So all current and future lines will get the next letter in the alphabet based on its opening date, with the exception of H and I, which will not be letter designations, as they are often used to denote hospitals and information. We've got a whole website about Metro letter naming and a couple of really good TikToks. We'll include the link in the wrap-up email. And moving into the maintenance and storage facility, how large will this be? The mailer sent out shows the MSF taking up the whole northern section of Sadikoy from Sepulveda to Van Nuys. Let's see here. So the maintenance and storage facility will cover 21 acres near Keswick Street and will accommodate vehicle storage, operation, and maintenance personnel. Let's see here. It impacts 18 properties located, again, west of Van Nuys Boulevard between Keswick and Raymer Street. Dun, 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 dun. Will the MSF change any of the current or pedestrian flows between Keswick and Raymer? Will any of the existing streets be closed? The answer is yes. The pedestrian and traffic flows will be modified to accommodate the tracks that enter into the maintenance facility, and Keswick and Raymer will remain open. Oh, three-part question. Here we go. As a commercial property owner along the subject corridor, how do we find out exactly? How will utility relocation affect our properties and tenants? How will the left turn pockets be determined, and how will those affect our properties? And how will we find out about how much property will be taken? And Annette chimed in right away, noting that it's very important that you email our team with your property address and contact information, because we will contact you. And the project email address is eastsfvtransit@metro.net. Do you know the select location? Could you make that public? And I think we're going to need to know, the person who submitted that question, we're going to need more details. And folks, do not put your street addresses in the chat, because this becomes a matter of public record. So Mr. Byrne, we're holding on to your stuff, but we're removing them from the public side of the Q&A feature. Ooh, oh, there's a third one. Okay. So are there plans to make sure the light rail doesn't stop at the red lights? So transit signal priority is being implemented on the project, which prioritizes the train movements through at grade crossings. This will reduce the train stopping at red lights. These are some great questions, folks. All right, how will I be affected by the vibrations? So Metro is committed to satisfying all applicable federal, state, and local environmental regulations and to applying reasonable mitigation measures that reduce the adverse effects and significant impacts. The environmental document we talked about before on page ES25, so in the executive summary on page 25, Metro has adopted a mitigation monitoring and reporting program, which is required as part of CEQA. So we'll include the link and we will again include that link in the wrap-up email. The same person is asking, my house is on Van Nuys and Woodman. There's a lot of noise already. My house will be damaged. And so again, the folks who are messaging in on the Samsung, we want you to email our team at eastsfbtransit@metro.net with your property address. Do not put your property address in the Q&A box. Reach out to us by email. These are some great questions, folks. We've got two more open. Let's see here. Monica, I don't know if you want to come back on. We've got two questions here that haven't been answered. And one is having to do with the bike lanes. And the second one is dealing with parking.
Yes. So yeah, I was looking up what we had for our general responses on that. So with the bike lanes, these fall under the jurisdiction of City of Los Angeles, DOT. So at this time, we are working with them on where the alternative bike lanes will be placed. Currently on Van Nuys Boulevard, there are two portions of bike lanes that will get removed. And we are working with City of LA on where those bike lanes will be placed. And that will include also the classification for those bike lanes. As far as the choice to preserve four car lanes on Van Nuys Boulevard is what I'm assuming that is referring to. That again also went through the environmental process where it was heavily studied the existing traffic flow and also the traffic flow after the rail system is installed. And so referring you back to the final environmental documents that we have posted on our website to better understand the analysis that was done along with the mitigation measures that are proposed as far as dealing with the removal of the traffic lanes and also the lanes that will remain. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. I've got two more for you if you're up for it. And then I will do last call because I do see that we're starting to lose our audience members. Let's see here. Will Van Nuys Boulevard between Laurel Canyon and San Fernando Road be expanding? Meaning will sidewalks be reduced in some places?
Ooh, that's a tough one because it sounds very general. In the sense of, I will try this. Sidewalks will be a minimum of 10 feet. So what is out there today, if it's more than 10 feet, it might be reduced, but it will stay at a minimum of 10 feet. Between Laurel Canyon and San Fernando Road, will it be expanded? It will have, and Matt, hopefully you're still on. If you can remind me what we're currently showing in the environmental document and our design, I believe we have what is currently out there today, and we will continue with that configuration. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We're maintaining basically the existing configuration, but as you said, maintaining a minimum of 10-foot sidewalks. So it depends on exactly where you're at along that stretch. In some cases, it might be fairly close to what's already out there. In other cases, especially where we have the crossings, is usually where we're having to reduce it down to the 10 feet.
And as far as the traffic lanes, I believe what's out there today is two lanes in the northbound direction and one lane in the south?
Other way around. Two lanes in the southbound and one lane in the northbound.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So we plan on maintaining that configuration, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So hopefully that answers that question.
All right. Thanks, Monica. I'm not going to put you in the hot seat again. The last question tonight is my favorite question because it has to do with bus service. Will there be any increases in the east-west bus service on the streets intersecting with the route to improve access? Bus services will be evaluated in a later phase of this project. Here we go. So folks, this is the last slide. We're wrapping up for the evening. Again, I want to say thank you for coming out. Many of you hopefully were sitting on a back porch or back patio watching this on a tiny little device. To get in touch with the project team, you can call us at 818-701-3844. You can email us at eastsfbtransit@metro.net. The project website is metro.net/eastsfb. And of course, the agency is on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter, you can find us at Metro Los Angeles, and on Facebook, Los Angeles Metro. One more slide to go. I hope it's big blue. Let's see. Indeed it is. Hold on. I went all the way around. Look at that. Here we go. It's still the thank you slide. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. As a reminder, this was recorded. We will send out a follow-up email tomorrow with a link to the PDF, the recording, and a Spanish version of the PDF. Thank you so much, and everyone have a great evening.